Andy Owens, Barbara Kingsolver's The Poison Wood Bible, pages 17 through 19. Just then, a married couple of Baptists in tortoiseshell sunglasses came out of the crowd and shook our hands. They had the peculiar name of Underdown, Reverend and Mrs. Underdown. They'd come down to shepherd us through customs and speak French to the men in uniforms. Father made it clear we were completely self-reliant, but appreciated their kindness all the same. He was so polite about it that the Underdowns didn't realize he was peeved. They carried on making a fuss as if we were all old friends and presented us with a gift of mosquito netting, just armloads of it, trailing on and on like an embarrassing bouquet from some junior high boyfriend who liked you overly much. As we stood there holding our netting and sweating through our complete wardrobes, they regaled us with information about our soon-to-be home, Kelanga. Oh, they had plenty to tell, since they and their boys had once lived there and started a whole of it, school, church, and all. At one point in time, Kelanga was a regular mission with four American families and a medical doctor who visited once a week. Now it had gone into a slump, they said. No more doctor. And the Underdowns themselves had had to move to Leopoldville to give their boys a shot at proper schooling. If, said Mrs. Underdown, you could even call it that. The other missionaries to Kelanga had long since expired their terms, so it was to be just the Price family and whatever help we could muster up. They warned us not to expect much. My heart pounded, for I expected everything, jungle flowers, wild roaring beasts, God's kingdom in its pure, unenlightened glory. Then, while Father was smack in the middle of explaining something to the Underdowns, they suddenly hustled us onto a tiny airplane and abandoned us. It was only our family and the pilot, who was busy adjusting his earphones under his hat. He ignored us entirely, as if we were no more than ordinary cargo. There we sat, draped like tired bridesmaids with our yards of white veil, numbed by the airplane's horrible noise, skimming above the treetops. We were tuckered out, as my mother would say. Plum tuckered out, she would say. Sugar, now don't you trip over that. You're tuckered out, it's plain to see. Mrs. Underdown had fussed and laughed over what she called our charming southern accent. She even tried to imitate the way we said right now and bye-bye. Right now, she said. Why, yes, the aeroplane is leaving right now and bye-bye, like a sheep. She caused me to feel embarrassed over our simple expressions and drawn-out vowels, when I've never before considered myself to have any accent, though naturally I'm aware we do sound worlds different from the Yanks on the radio and the TV. I had quite a lot to ponder as I sat on that airplane, and incidentally, I still had to pee. But we were all dizzy and silent by that time, having grown accustomed to taking up no more space in a seat than was our honest due. At long last, we bumped into a landing in a field of tall yellow grass. We all jumped out of our seats, but Father, because of his imposing stature, had to kind of crouch over inside the plane instead of standing up straight. He pronounced a hasty benediction. Heavenly Father, please make me a powerful instrument of thy perfect will here in the Belgian Congo. Amen. Amen, we answered, and then he led us out through the oval doorway into the light. We stood blinking for a moment, staring out through the dust at 100 dark villagers, slender and silent, swaying faintly like trees. We'd left Georgia at the head of a peach-blossom summer, and now stood in a bewildering dry red fog that seemed like no particular season you could put your finger on. In all our layers of clothing, we must have resembled a family of Eskimos plopped down in a jungle. But that was our burden, because there was so much we needed to bring here. Each one of us arrived with some extra responsibility biting into us under our garments, a claw hammer, a Baptist hymnal, each object of value replacing the weight freed up by some frivolous thing we'd found the strength to leave behind. Our journey was to be a great enterprise of balance. My father, of course, was bringing the Word of God, which fortunately weighs nothing at all.